And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hear that podcast growling,
mean and angry.
Hear that co-host shouting,
it's Danger and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Growling. Paul Ener Jr., Jay Morrison of The Athletic are here with you. Update edition, we could call it. Just a quick hitter here. We wanted to kind of, you know, we had the reaction to the cut down to 53 that came to you earlier this week. But as the next wave and then the next wave and then the next wave's wave have all kind of blown through, the dust finally kind of settles on the Bengals, not just the 53, but the 69, really, right? Because you're throwing in your 16 practice squad players, and that got completed on Thursday afternoon here as we record this, when receiver Trenton Irwin cleared waivers and reverts to the team. So all the roster gymnastics the Bengals did to add a couple new pieces and form their practice squad basically pay off. As it goes, let's start with sort of the additions. Since the 53 went down, the Bengals did place two waiver claims on Wednesday. They added edge rusher Wyatt Ray and cornerback Nick McLeod. Now, Nick McLeod is an undrafted free agent. Playing for the Bills. Wyatt Ray, a little bit more experience, but, you know, basically you're going off a really nice preseason from the Titans. The edge rusher, Jay, I mean, we saw that coming. We knew they would be looking for one. It seemed wide open, and it was one of the first spots they went to.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I wonder if Kareem doesn't get hurt, if Khalid Kareem doesn't get hurt, if they do that, because it was a risk exposing both Mike Thomas and Trenton Irwin to waivers to grab these guys that are just going to be depth pieces.
Thomas technically was terminated, so he wasn't exposed to waivers. True. Because it's always this interesting roster gymnastics that they do, right? I remember this from Michael Johnson a few years back, where they had to tell him, look, we just want to get somebody else on, so we're going to have to cut you, knowing that we're going to sign you tomorrow. And then it's like, you're the gymnastics is the risk. The player can choose then to tell you to piss off. But if they kind of agree to it, you can use it to your advantage. And that's, they were able to do that with Thomas, whereas Irwin, they had to sweat it out. Sorry to interrupt. It sparked that memory.
No, and it's a good point, because if vested veterans, guys with 4 years in the league, do not need to clear waivers. They are free to sign anywhere once their contracts are terminated. But still, even though you have that handshake agreement, it's still a bit of a risk, because you don't, I mean, I know Mike Johnson was not happy about that. No. It doesn't look good to see your name on the waiver wire, but, or the termination, contract terminated list, but yeah, it was a bit of a risk for the Bengals, and they get both guys back. And again, I wonder if they do that with, if they grab a guy like Wyatt Ray, if Kareem doesn't get hurt. And the other thing is, you know, they very well could have placed more waiver claims. They were fifth on the wire. Currently, the waiver wire is the same as last year's draft order. So, you know, a team ahead of them could have beat them to a guy. They don't publish those, the teams that missed out. But yes, corner was a little surprising. Makes you wonder about the Trey Waynes injury. But definite an edge rusher, just, it made sense with Kareem down. They are really thin at there right now.
So yeah, so Khalid Kareem, like you mentioned, he does end up going on IR, designated to return. Updating that, I mean, that's 3 weeks now. That he has to be out minimum with his shoulder injury. But they had to pull him through the 53, which they did, in order to then place him on IR and replace him on the roster, which they did with Thomas. So Kareem, people have asked questions about that. There's still this very weird shroud of mystery over it. I will say there's a competitive advantage this time of year when everybody's jockeying for doing different things with their roster and hiding players here and trying to stash this and trying to make moves. To, if you have somebody with any injury, to just be very mum on that, and just, you know, once you've completed your process, then you can talk a little bit more openly about what's going on. I think that's the major reason that there's been a lot of mystery and not wanting to say anything about Khalid Kareem's shoulder injury. But he is on IR with designation to return. So anytime after 3 weeks, he can come off. We don't know how long that will be. We haven't had a chance to really talk to anybody further about that yet. There are just a couple of practices this week that were very small, and then it's a big long weekend off for everybody after they reconvene. They'll reconvene on Monday starting their game week. But Kareem kind of goes out. Wyatt Ray comes in. I think you're still going to see Darius Hodge, you know, kind of be that third pass rusher in passing situations. They're going to give him a chance to be that guy. But they had to have some other options there, and we'll see what comes of Wyatt Ray as he gets here. And McLeod is kind of an interesting addition in that, okay, you've got seven corners. Well, I guess you've got six if you're counting Trey Wayne's missing some time, which we're expecting. But to me, that was undrafted free agent, played really well in some action, had about 100 snaps for the Bills, and particularly the first two games played really well, and willing to give him a shot, obviously willing to give him enough of a shot to put him on your 53-man roster. Maybe they try to get him on the 53 and then move him down in a couple of weeks once they get him here in-house and convince him to stay here on their practice squad. We'll see if there's some other maneuvering going on, because I have a hard time seeing him being active on game day, right?
Yeah, not this quick. Even if he is, I don't know this for a fact, but if he is a quality gunner or it can give you something on special teams, I mean, it would be surprising. Now, they did it with Quentin Spain, but that was a much different situation where he started 2 days after arriving. But to ask McLeod to go out there and be active, it wouldn't make much sense unless they have another injury. I mean, if they know they're probably and we don't know this, but the fact that they didn't play Eli Apple in the final, I think there is a question mark about whether Trey Waynes will be open, ready for the opener. So if you're already down one and then something happens somewhere else in you know, tomorrow's practice, next week, it's a nice security blanket to have that guy. But barring an injury, yeah, I don't see him being active.
Darius Phillips not at practice on Thursday of note. Perhaps there's a connection there. We shall see. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, Trey Hill also not at Thursday practice. So you're kind of – some names you're watching, but we'll be more interested in who's practicing on Monday when they all come back. There's a lot of people that will be nursing stuff as they just – there's no reason to put any extra on them until you actually get into kind of game week next week. So McLeod, Ray here, Thomas, and Irwin both end up getting back onto the roster. Now let's talk about the practice squad for those people that are real hard practice squatters. You know, the names I think that you were interested to see if they would find their way back. There's been a lot of discussion about Thad Moss, and I think the Bengals got the best case scenario here for them. They get the better practice, the better special teams player on the regular roster to be active on game day, but have the replacement they want in case an injury happens to CJ Uzomah and Drew Sample ready and to go on the PS. And it's important to remind people how easy it is to move up between practice squad and the regular active roster on game day now. It's just so much easier. And there's so many guys, and you can have all these veterans if you want on your practice squad, that you're really set up to move at a moment's notice with pretty smoothly if there's any issue With injury with CJ or Drew, and Moss is here and he's still here hanging with Burrow, and it's like he never left, right? Everything that people complained about, you kind of get the best case scenario, and they had to be pretty confident that Moss would want to come back here and also confident that nobody was going to claim him, and both proved to be true.
Yeah, and now I'm really interested to see next week on Tuesday. I believe it's Tuesday. It might be Monday, but I think it is Tuesday. They will be allowed to protect four practice squad guys that normally any other team can poach a practice squad player at any time. That they're starting last year with the COVID rules, they were allowed to protect four every week. And it was always kind of interesting to see. Obviously, it's the guys they value most on that list. And then it also comes down to maybe where they're thinnest and they know they need to protect a guy that you don't want to lose. But I would imagine that Thad Moss will be one of those four next week.
You never know, and there's always weird reasoning to why they do choose certain guys. It might be even worth some more conversation with them about why they do that, and we'll try to get some of that to you as we get closer to the season. But, you never quite know why they're going to choose who they do choose. An interesting thing about the practice squad, when you look at it and see it formed, you know, I mean, you've got one offensive lineman on there. You got Keaton Sutherland, you know, who also has obviously never played an NFL snap. You've got on the roster Jackson Carman, Trey Hill, and Deontay Smith, who've never played an NFL snap. You have Isaiah Prince, who has 70 NFL snaps from his rookie year with the Dolphins, and you know, Fred Johnson. And we discussed this a lot the other day, and I wrote about it. You can go and read that at The Athletic. We still have a 50% off subscription deal going right now, by the way, if you're interested in doing that for the season and getting on board with everything we're doing. But I mean, it's just hanging out there, man. It's just a big meatball right now. It's just, you don't have anybody in the practice squad. It seems like they should be interested in somebody with some experience being involved, whether even if you could sneak them on the PS or put them in the roster. And we have not seen any of that. You know, there's just very much a stamp of approval of these rookies. And, you know, it's just very risky. It's just very risky, and it continues to look that way.
It is risky. But, I mean, really, you look at the offensive linemen that have been let go, and, I mean, Bobby Hart's on that list.
Hashtag bring back Bobby? No?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, honestly, if you're going to get anybody, if you're going to go out and find someone to add to the practice squad, you would think it would be someone more on the interior than it would be a tackle, even though they're not set by any means. But you do have Fred Johnson as a swing tackle, and then Isaiah Prince has played in this league. 47 snaps, you said.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not like there was anybody they let go and didn't bring back to the practice squad that was going to be
Michael Jordan, but he got claimed by Carolina.
Yeah, that was out of their hands.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's Gunnar Vogel, and you look at the other offensive linemen they let go. There's just – it is. It's thin, and it's dicey, and there's a whole lot of, as you said in your story, finger crossing going on right now that those starting five can stay healthy.
At least early in the season, until you feel like you get a little bit more work and acclimation period for those three rookies, in particular Trey Hopkins. If you're turning to Trey Hill at some point, I mean – I don't know. You'd just love to have him get some more time to see some NFL stuff happen on tape, even just to watch some NFL tape of how teams are approaching blitzing and you know, all that other stuff within these real games. I mean, it's just a big risk. But if you stay healthy, nobody cares. And you did some other things because of that. But you know, it's going to be able to keep an eye on, you know, what they can do there, to potentially find people that they could add. You know, a guy like Phil Haynes, who I think impressed a lot of people in Seattle, was put on waivers. You know, you get surprised you didn't see something happen maybe in that direction to try to add. All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Other interesting practice squad elements. They get Drew Chrisman onto the practice squad. I don't know that there was a lot of, you know, thought that there wouldn't be because he didn't participate at all in the preseason and nobody could see how well they supposedly say he was doing in OTAs and stuff. But I do think it's a nice security blanket to have and a more chance to work him as a holder. In practice and chance to see him how he looks without anybody else being able to see how he looks in the long run as a potential future replacement for Kevin Huber. And yeah, like I said, a security blanket in case something were to happen to him.
Yeah. And I don't see anything happening this year because Huber he had a decent preseason.
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple short ones, but he had a couple bombs. And he coming off his career high in net or in gross punting yardage. Chrisman's younger, huge leg, and it's a really interesting. I mean, if it's not for the expanded practice squad, you probably don't have a room for a guy like that. I don't know that the Bengals have ever had a punter on their practice squad before. It was really unique when they had Jake Elliott on there as a kicker and couple years ago, 17, and we saw how that ended up. So it is a sign of how they feel about Drew Chrisman's leg that they even used, even though it is 16 and it is expanded, to use a practice squad spot on a punter says it says plenty about how they feel about him.
Yeah. Elsewhere, just to kind of quickly run through some of the other stuff, Trayvon Henderson, Winston Rose, Tony Brown, Joe Bachy, Keandre Jones, Noah Spence and Ronnell Wren, maybe the most interesting names on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Noah Spence just got here. I think that's a matter of, all right, let's get a little bit more of an extended look of meeting Noah Spence, figuring out who he is, see where he's at motivationally, see, you know, watch him in practice a little bit to get a better feel for him. Like, no sense kicking him out now, a guy with the kind of talent that he obviously had getting drafted high, get him in the building a little bit longer and see what happens. Ronnell Wren, you know, they did a great job replacing the interior defensive tackle between the three techniques and the defensive tackles over the course of this offseason, with the last piece being BJ Hill. And the fact that Ronnell Wren has no role, I think, is a reflection of how well they did do that. I mean, they drafted over top of him. They developed over top of him. Josh Tupou came in and played well over top of him. They did a good job with the three technique and getting some new pieces there. So that's what, you know, you get Ronnell Wren in there hanging out in the background still too. Jacques Patrick and Travion Williams both stick around on the practice squads along with Puka Williams, who's hurt and rehabbing still. You get Trent Taylor and Trenton Irwin. Both of those guys still there. When do you think Trenton Irwin shows back up on the 53? I mean, you know, they kept him on there for a reason. We saw him play well for a reason. He's a backup to Tyler Boyd. I mean, I wonder how long until we see him get yanked up on game day.
Yeah, maybe September 12th.
Yeah.
I mean, you can bring up two guys. What if you bring up two, one has to be an offensive lineman. Is that correct? I can't remember that exact rule. But yeah, you could see the value that he gives on special teams, and if you can bring up two, and you're not assuming there's not an injury, and you're not super thin somewhere else, I would think either he or maybe Thaddeus Moss. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Trenton Irwin be on the active game day roster against the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, in week to week, it probably depends on what's going on, right? I mean, if Tyler Boyd might have an injury he's pulling through during the week, he tweaked a hammy or whatever. If you've got a game plan that you want to have extra slot work potentially, whatever it is, you know, I think that there's reasons you could see him get pulled up. That's kind of where it stands. It's never really totally set this time of year. There's still, you know, it's the old, you never feel good until the first check clears. So there'll be some people feeling good next week. But that's where it's at right now. I think that the Austin Seibert was claimed by Detroit. They went from Randy Bullock to Austin Seibert up there. Just living out Bengals fans' nightmares.
Didn't they grab another Bengal?
Yeah, Detroit? There's. I mean, but the Giants and the Lions seem to play each other and put some Bengals scouts up there in attendance or something because they'd feel very familiar. Yeah, so there's that's kind of where things stand. Again, their game week starts on Monday. They'll have a practice there. CBA mandates this a long 3-day weekend, which the team is taking. And they'll be back on Monday with practice, Players Day off Tuesday, and then we're into regular Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practices, and then the home game against the Vikings, like you said, on the 12th. And very excited for all that. Next Thursday, September 9th, very excited. Myself, Jay, Mo Egger, cast of others, James Rapine's going to be there. Optimistic Bobby, of course, is going to be there. We're working out to see who else might be in attendance. But either way, really excited to go out to 50 West for a live event, season preview event, hang out, drink, listen to us talk some Bengals football, ask us some questions. We'll do an off-the-record Q&A. And then, you know, the big screens will be going on. Sand volleyball will be happening. Jay will be trying to tag into a game, and we'll be drinking, watching the Cowboys and the Bucks play. 50 West open till midnight that night, so you'll be around for the whole game and you can hang out. We would love to have you up to come check it out, say hello, and all that stuff. And if you are a Growler winner, I already heard from one, Kevin Willer, what up? Looking forward to seeing you on Thursday to come collect your winnings. It's finally winnings collection time. So send your reps. If you know somebody who's won a Growler bet and they live out of town, call them up. Tell them all how much you love them and how much you want to get a growler on them. So, all right. Thanks to everybody for listening to our little update podcast. We will we'll be back next week as we start previewing the season. It's finally here, folks. Very exciting. Talk to you later, everyone.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.